Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Ireland says it doesn't need a bailout, but Europe's not buying it.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Ireland continues to insist it is not the next Greece. The country's leaders say it does not need a bailout. Today, the Irish government said it's working with European leaders to help stabilize its economy, but it insists that it can keep paying its bills for the foreseeable future. So, what is the deal? Here's the BBC's Russell Padmore in London.
The Irish government insists it has enough money to last until next June and it won't need a bailout. In May, European countries orchestrated a $146 billion bailout for Greece. Now those same nations believe it's vital to stabilise the euro currency and the Irish should accept a rescue package of more than $100 billion. But Minister for Justice Dermot O'Hearn told Ireland's national broadcaster RTE rumours of a bailout were false.
It is fiction because what we want to do is get on with the business of bringing forward the four-year plan, dealing with the budget, the first budget, which is a very important part, and that's where all our energies are.
The government's reassurances are doing little to calm global markets. Investors are worried the country won't be able to pay back the debts it used to finance government spending. That's made it even more expensive for Ireland to borrow money. It's also raised concerns that other heavily indebted European countries like Portugal and Spain might also need a bailout. In London, I'm the BBC's Russell Padmore for Marketplace.
Lots of internet email news to tell you about this morning. AOL has announced Project Phoenix, the long-awaited overhaul of its email. And later this morning, Facebook is expected to announce an email service of its own, which some are already calling the Gmail killer. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith is here with me now live to sort through all these domain names. Good morning, Stacey.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So AOL announced yesterday a new email service. Why did they roll this out last night?
Well, basically, as you said, it was all about Facebook. Hmm. Facebook is expected to announce its own email service a bit later this morning. And that's actually the real news here, because these days the business of email is not actually about email. I spoke with NetTech's Steve Kennedy about this. Here was his take.
Doing email is nothing to do with actually providing an email service. It's providing an advertising platform.
Email services can now mine your emails and they show you ads based on what you're talking about. Facebook already has tons of information on us, so all of that together would be an advertising goldmine.
And now, why is Facebook's email service already being called the Gmail killer?
Yes. Well, Facebook already has 500 million users, and if all of those users start using Facebook email, it would make Facebook the biggest email provider in the world by far, more than double the size of Gmail.
Huh.
But Duke University's Ken Wilber thinks this actually might be kind of a dangerous move for Facebook.
You talk to college students. For them, email is, you know, for people over 30. It's like, don't trust anyone with an email account.
And Wilber points out that having an older people image is part of the problem AOL has now.
I think a lot of us feel a lot older right now. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith, thanks so much.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Markets in Europe are mixed at this hour. Stocks in Tokyo rose today after Japan said its economy grew by a surprising 3.9% last quarter. Earnings just in from the home improvement chain Lowe's, they were lower than expected because, Lowe's says, consumers put off expensive home renovations. On Wall Street on Friday, the Dow fell 90 points to close at 11,192. Thanks so much.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. By Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD, as well as an online savings account and money market account. Learn more at AllyBank.com. And by the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering four sections of ideas and information, available at newsstands every Saturday.
GM goes public on Thursday, and a Chinese automaker is expected to be one of the big buyers of GM shares. In the world of entrepreneurship, a similar trend is developing, with the U.S. facing ever greater competition from abroad and especially from Asia. From the Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports.
An analysis by Bloomberg found that Asian companies will garner two-thirds of the capital from initial public offerings this year. U.S. companies will get just about 10%. A decade ago, U.S. IPOs were way out in front, and companies in Asia weren't ready to go public.
5 or 6 years ago, I was not impressed with what I saw.
That's Berkeley researcher Vivek Wadhwa, and I reached him in Bangalore, India. He'd just been teaching entrepreneurs in Malaysia and was on his way to China.
Today, I'm absolutely, completely blown away by the energy, by the enthusiasm, and by the quality of companies that I'm seeing in both India and China. Move forward 5 years, these countries will dwarf the United States in terms of innovation and entrepreneurship.
Asian companies are already raising a lot of money to grow from investors in Asia and the U.S. Emily Mendel of the National Venture Capital Association explains where that leads.
Increasing interest in investing in China, investing in Asia. The results of that won't be seen for some time because, again, a venture capital investment is typically 5 to 10 years.
Mendel says Asian governments have changed tax laws and regulations to make investment more attractive. Vivek Wadhwa says they're also starting to crack down on graft and bureaucracy.
The Indian and Chinese governments, even though they're corrupt, they know that their future lies in allowing this entrepreneurship and allowing the innovation to happen.
That same energy is spilling over into the U.S., says Robert Lighton of the Kauffman Foundation.
Roughly one quarter of our successful high-tech companies have been founded or co-founded by immigrants over the last decade.
Lighton wants the U.S. to grab even more of that startup spirit.
And so if I could wave a magic wand, all those foreign immigrants that are now at American universities, I would give them a green card as soon as they graduate and let them stay here, because we know disproportionately they will found new firms and create more jobs.
Lighton supports a new entrepreneur's visa for immigrants who start a business and employ someone other than a family member. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, what is a reasonable number of friends? Well, in Facebook world, it could be 100 or 1,000. The creators of a new social network called Path think 50 is an appropriate amount. So that's the maximum number of friends you can have on Path. There will be no limit, of course, on the number of enemies you can have once they find out that they didn't make the top 50. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Cotton futures are hitting record highs this year. Part of the reason for that demand is a group of U.S. cotton growers and importers called Cotton Incorporated.
There were people, I can recall, people back in the early 70s were very, very skeptical of paying this organization to do something.
I'm Bob Moon, making us think twice about cotton, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.